Beaumontin, good morning, welcome. My name is Rosie Goldstein. I'm the Vice Principal of Research and International Relations here at McGill. And as such, it's my great honor and pleasure to welcome you today to McGill University for this exciting announcement of the 2012 results of the Collaborative Health Research Project competition. Amis, collègues, membres des médias et invités de Mac, aujourd'hui est une journée très importante et intéressante pour la recherche au Canada. Before I start the official program, I want to extend a special welcome to our distinguished guests, the Honorable Gary Goodyear, Minister of State and for Science and Technology since 2008 for the Government of Canada. Welcome. Ms. Margaret McQuaig-Johnston, Executive Vice President, National Sciences and Research and Engineering Research Council of Canada, or NSERC, and Professor Heather Monroe Bloom, Principal and Vice Chancellor, McGill University, as well VPs that are present, Olivier Marcil, Dean David Eidelman, any other deans and chairs, distinguished researchers, and especially our special distinguished researcher, Marianne Hatsopoulou, who we will hear from later today. In 1999, NSERC started this program on collaborative health research projects, and in 2003, it became the name that we're talking about today, CHRP, Collaborative Health Research Projects, and in French, the acronym is PRCS. This program is funded jointly by CHR and NSERC since 2003, and really as such, it exemplifies an interdisciplinary research program and a program that supports the transfer of knowledge in a very strong way. One of the main goals, and you'll hear today from the researcher and the project that was funded at McGill, is really improving the health of Canadians and providing economic benefits for all of Canada. So we're really very proud of our winner in this program, but also very proud and grateful to the program itself and the kind of research that that you'll hear about today that it supports. It's my privilege to now introduce the Honorable Gary Goodyear, who, as I said, is the Minister of State for Science and Technology. Please welcome Mr. Goodyear.
Good morning, everybody. Bonjour, mesdames et messieurs. C'est un plaisir d'être ici avec vous ce matin dans la belle ville de Montréal, merci, et sur le magnifique campus de l'Université McGill. Thank you all very much for joining us this morning. It is such a pleasure for me to be back in Montreal bringing more good news on the science and technology file. You know, a lot has been said over the last number of months, indeed I can tell you over the last number of years, about the federal government's investment and commitment in science. Notre gouvernement comprend que c'est la science qui allume le commerce. As Prime Minister Stephen Harper has said many times, science powers commerce. Our government's support of science fosters innovation, talent, and ideas that lead to better competitiveness and productivity. This, ladies and gentlemen, is central to our ongoing efforts to address Canada's social and economic challenges. And this brings me to the reason why we are all here today. The Collaborative Health Research Projects Program, or CHRP, is an initiative designed to encourage and support our innovative scientists and researchers and entrepreneurs. Through this program, interdisciplinary research teams work on solutions that directly benefit Canadians, provide more effective services, and stimulate economic development in health-related areas. These projects will indeed generate new jobs, better job opportunities, as university researchers develop new tools and ideas, and they are moved to the marketplace both here at home and around the world. Ultimately, they will result in more effective services, increased health technologies for everyone, and an opportunity for prosperity. So, ladies and gentlemen, it gives me great pleasure to announce that our government, the federal government, will invest $19 million at 15 universities across Canada to support cutting-edge research. Congratulations. That's great news. And by nurturing collaborations between teams of experts in natural sciences, engineering, and health sciences, we pave the way to breakthroughs in the fields of breast cancer, respiratory disease, brain function, diagnostics, better treatments, and many, many more. The investments made through this program, jointly managed by the Natural Sciences and Engineering Research Council of Canada and the Canadian Institutes of Health Research, will also support the training of top-tier researchers in interdisciplinary research methods, which will have long-term benefits for research in our great country. Now, here at McGill University, our government will invest more than $450,000 over 3 years in research in a project led by Dr. Marianne Hatzipalu. Her work, ladies and gentlemen, is to study the impact of air pollution on the health of people living in urban areas. We were talking just earlier with the good doctor that when I was in Toronto going to college, I would often see people riding their bikes to work or jogging up the street while I was stuck in six lanes of traffic, idling cars while people jogged by. And I often wondered if there was a net benefit to their health jogging in such an environment. So Dr. Hatzipalu will help us underscore whether, in fact, there is a net health benefit. And her research will help us look into many health issues that we are concerned about, including cardiovascular and lung diseases. Her findings will influence urban planning and infrastructure and will help us design better air pollution policies to improve the air quality of our cities and ultimately the quality of lives of our citizens. One of the key objectives, as was mentioned earlier, of the CHRP program is to translate the research results to the end user, such as a medical laboratory, a pharmaceutical company, or perhaps a medical equipment manufacturer. In this way, the healthcare industry will directly benefit from the advances in technologies, the creation of new knowledge, and from new resources designed to improve care in general, what we have always said from the laboratories to the living rooms of the world. Now, this year, for the first time, the program will involve organizations and businesses that can use the knowledge generated through the research and apply it to create new health-related products, policies, and practices outside of that research laboratory setting. In short, Canadians may see the impact of this research in their daily lives much sooner. It's through initiatives like this that our best and brightest researchers can discover solutions to problems we all face and allow Canadians to live healthier lives, keep our health research at the cutting edge while adding economic stimulation at the same time. And so let me close by congratulating McGill and all the other 14 universities for their leadership and commitment to discovering, and of course, to assisting in the well-being of Canadians. I look forward to hearing more about your successes in the coming months to years. Thank you again, and congratulations. Merci.
Thank you, Minister Goodyear, for bringing us that announcement personally and with such passion and sharing the details, the important and exciting details. On behalf of the McGill community and all the CHRP winners, I know I can speak for them in thanking you, especially for taking the time to make the announcement here today and joining us personally. J'ai maintenant le grand plaisir de vous présenter Madame Margaret McQuaig-Johnston, vice-présidente directrice du Conseil de recherche en sciences naturelles et en génie du Canada. Madame McQuaig-Johnston is the COO of NSERC. She oversees research policy. I have to read this so I don't, because it's a long list. International relations, corporate planning, program evaluation and audit, and she also provides the secretariat support for NSERC's council. I hope I got most of it. To say that she's busy. And we also are very grateful that she took the time from NSERC to come to our campus today, and I invite her, please join me in welcoming Madame McQuaig-Johnston to the podium.
Thank you very much, and good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you very much for joining us today. Je suis ravie d'être ici aujourd'hui pour souligner les résultats du dernier concours de programme de subvention de projets de recherche concertée sur la santé, dont le financement est assuré conjointement par le CRSNG et les Instituts de recherche en santé du Canada. As you may know, NSERC's vision is to make Canada a country of discoverers and innovators for the benefit of all Canadians. We do this by supporting discovery research and the training of the next generation of scientists and engineers, and by facilitating partnerships that yield innovative advances for our country. The Collaborative Health Research Projects Initiative is a great example of the types of partnerships that we can create. It brings together the science and engineering communities with the health research community to apply their combined expertise to really innovative research activities. I'm very pleased with the success of this year's competition. CHRP Initiative is funding 37 projects led by principal investigators at 15 universities. These projects address specific health issues faced by thousands of Canadians each year. Le ministre Goodyear vous a déjà parlé du projet appuyé ici à l'Université McGill. J'aimerais maintenant vous parler de quelques autres projets qui seront lancés à la suite de l'annonce faite aujourd'hui. At the University of Manitoba, researchers are leading a project to develop novel wound dressings for skin burns that use recent advances in antibacterial agents and biomedical engineering to provide faster recovery for patients. At Queen's University, a team of researchers has developed a technique for producing custom-made cartilage implants that take into account the unique dimensions of the patient's anatomy at the implant location. And researchers at the University of Waterloo are developing a diagnostic method that images biomarkers in a patient's eye to determine the severity and progression of one of medicine's largest concerns, Alzheimer's. As you can see from this selection of just a few of the projects being funded under today's announcement, Canadians have good reasons to feel optimistic about the future of healthcare in our country. Un des grands objectifs de ce programme est de faire en sorte que les projets de recherche appuyés procurent des avantages durables aux Canadiens. Par conséquent, un des principaux objectifs du programme est la formation des étudiants du premier cycle et des cycles supérieurs et des stagiaires postdoctoraux en recherche collaborative et interdisciplinaire. The students trained as part of these projects will be on the cutting edge of developments in the health sciences and will gain valuable insight into the development of new medical treatments and technologies. Researchers benefit from an enriched academic experience and discover new opportunities by working with people from other disciplines, institutions, and sectors. En effet, nous croyons que ce programme aide à former les chercheurs de demain, c'est-à-dire les personnes qui auront non seulement des connaissances approfondies dans leur domaine d'expertise, mais aussi les compétences et l'expérience nécessaires pour être prêtes à innover. I would like to congratulate McGill University, their partners, and the teams at the 14 other universities for submitting such compelling and ultimately successful proposals. I look forward to following their developments and watching the impact that they will have on health science in Canada. Thank you.
Merci, Margaret. Nous sommes reconnaissants de vous compter parmi nous aujourd'hui. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for your very kind words. And next, it's my pleasure to invite Professor Heather Monroe-Bloom, Principal and Vice Chancellor of McGill, to the podium. She will deliver, of course, words of welcome on behalf of the university. She will also have the pleasure of introducing our featured CHRP researcher.
Bonjour, bienvenue, chers invités, Monsieur le Ministre, Madame McQuaig Johnson. I know I stand between you, and having heard the Minister and Madame McQuaig Johnson, hearing from our colleague, Professor Marianne Hatzopoulou, who really is the main event and representing today colleagues across the country who are recipients of this Collaborative Health Research Program Award. Minister Goodyear, it's always a pleasure to welcome you back to our campus. You spoke about jobs and prosperity and the government's investment in science, as did Madam McQuaig Johnson, and it's absolutely fundamental that you give leadership in this regard, and we're very grateful for it. I know at a time like this, when we have some major pharmaceutical companies moving out of Canada, one might say, is this an undermining of the investment, really extraordinary investment over the past decade in very innovative and important ways, but really over 100 years in Canada, and at McGill over 190 years in basic biomedical research and in the health sciences. And I want to assure you that our own assessment has shown that not only have we attracted and retained outstanding talent from around the world to McGill, and I know this is a story repeated across Canada, but indeed in our own strategic planning and in the work conducted by our professors, we're contributing in all kinds of ways to the health and social well-being of Canadians, both here in Quebec and across Canada, but also very much in the economic development upon which our social values so depend. And we've had some assessments in the last 24 months that show, as a result of the talent here and the investment in basic science as well as in the more applied interdisciplinary areas, that this is one of the most fertile places for the development, for example, of medical devices of anywhere in North America. Speaking as principal of a university that has roughly half of its enterprise invested in the health sciences and education research and scholarship, it's very reassuring to know that our economy, as well as the other important elements of civil society, are being well supported by this. Another important theme for Quebec and for Canada in a globalized world is the importance of institutions that rank with the best in the world, and Minister Goodyear has been a great proponent for Canada having more than two or three that rank with the top institutions in the world, and it makes me very proud that that McGill is one of those currently, and we depend on the sustained support of government as well as our own performance to ensure that that is the case going forward. Just to finish, before turning the floor over to my colleague, I want to say that Montreal is the only city in Canada with two faculties of medicine and an extraordinary array of world-recognized health research institutes that span basic science through to develop applied benefits. You know about our Cartier Innovation collaboration with École Technologie Supérieure. This is a huge asset, both for Quebec and for Canada broadly, to have this critical mass of talent, of interdisciplinary scientific and scholarly collaboration, and to have the development of young people who will make their careers in these fields. So, avec tout ça, merci infiniment pour votre investissement ici à McGill, mais aussi, bien sûr, au Canada entier. Right now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time. We want to hear from Professor Marianne Hatzopoulou about her work, and the bicycle is an intriguing tease on exactly what that collaboration is. I'm extraordinarily proud to count you a colleague at McGill, and please come to the podium. Congratulations on your award.
Thank you. Before I tell you a little bit about the research, I'd like to first thank the SHRP program for such an exciting funding opportunity, which has allowed me and my team to engage in the research questions that we've been wrestling with. Special thanks to Monsieur le Ministre. Merci beaucoup. Je suis ravie de vous rencontrer ce matin. And special thanks to McGill University, the Faculty of Engineering, for providing such a nurturing environment for junior faculty that allows us to thrive and grow. Last but not least, Professor Nguyen, the Chair of Civil Engineering. You've been such a great mentor over the past 2 years that I've been at McGill. To tell you a little bit about the research, the main drive, the main objective of what we're trying to do is to reconcile the divide between what engineers and planners want to do, which is to build denser cities, to bring people closer to the street, to share the streets between the drivers, the cyclists, the motorists. And that's all great, because these kind of urban environments are exactly the ones that promote active transportation and get us out of our cars and into alternative modes. But recent epidemiological evidence is still telling us that air pollution exposure remains associated with a range of health effects, mostly cardiovascular, not necessarily respiratory, and even at the low levels that characterize North American cities. We're not done. There's no escape from air pollution, so we still have to try and minimize exposure. And what we're trying to do is to build models, simulation models, and design standards that can help cities play around and discover what kind of urban designs, what kind of road geometries will decrease air pollution exposure. We're doing this at two different levels. I'll get to the bikes in a second, but our first level is the region. So what we're trying to do is we're looking at the generation of transportation emissions at an urban level, at the large metropolitan region. And we're looking at the patterns of the generation of emissions and exposure to these emissions. We've done already a case study for Montreal, and we found that most of the people who generate large amount of emissions at an individual level, at a household level, are exposed to very low levels of air pollution. And those who don't generate emissions are actually breathing the worst air pollution. So what we're interested in is developing large-scale simulation tools that can help provincial governments, and we have one of our supporters here, the Département de Santé Publique, represented by Dr. Louis Drouin, merci beaucoup, and who is very interested in simulating the effects of provincial policies on the generation and exposure to traffic-related air pollution. If we bring in a new transit line, if we impose tolls on bridges, how would that affect traffic patterns, and how would that affect the equity in air pollution? Our second level is more microscopic. Now we turn our microscope to the urban areas, but the microenvironments. We want to look at the neighborhoods, how neighborhoods are designed. And we decided to focus on cyclists for different reasons. First of all, cyclists ride very close to the roadways. So they are very, very close to the motorists. They also have higher breathing rates. And a lot of other researchers have not incorporated that into account. They breathe deeper than a driver or a person walking on the sidewalk. And most importantly, because most Canadian urban areas are investing into a lot of cycling infrastructure as the green mode of transportation. So what we're doing in a first step, and we did that this summer, is we have our cyclists who are fitted on, who are riding bikes that are fitted with air pollution monitoring equipment that are worth a lot of money, even though they look very small. And they are also fitted with GPS unit, helmet cameras, and basically the cyclist and the bicycle become human sensors of their environment. As they cycle around the city, we are gathering large amounts of air pollution data as well as other information on urban environments. We process that data in ways that I will not tell you. And then we can understand the levels of exposure. We can understand what influences this exposure. How do we design cycling facilities? Trees, boundary walls, parked cars. How do we optimize the system and the traffic to minimize exposure? What we're also trying to do is to build smartphone applications for individuals, whereby they would put in their origin, they would punch in their destination, and the application would tell them their lowest exposure route as opposed to the shortest path. We're playing around with that, and we found that people can actually decrease their exposure significantly by only going out of their way within less than 1 kilometer. So we're not telling people you have to bike around all the parks to get to your destination. Now, the last thing I want to talk about is what we're planning to do next year, which is to simultaneously measure exposure and physiological state changes. So we're going to have cyclists cycling with a bunch of Holter monitors, as well as other measures, physiological measures, so we can see if we can find any simultaneous effects of exposure. And that hopefully will help us inform better this debate on urban planning, physical activity, and health effects. Thank you very much.
Merci, Marianne. Félicitations à vous, à votre équipe, à tous les lauréats du programme des PACS et à leurs collègues. In closing, I want to thank once again Minister Goodyear, Madame McQuaig Johnston, Professor Monroe Bloom for being here with us today. We are honored that you took the time to make this announcement and be here with us. I also want to once again acknowledge the Government of Canada, NSERC, CIHR, and the CHRP program itself for this extraordinary support. For the media, if you're here, there will be the members of the podium party are all available to meet with you. And if you look at the people in the back, we're putting their hands up for media relations at McGill. They will guide you to the right people and the right locations. For everyone else, I invite you to stay for a small reception in the back of the room to celebrate all of the winners of this program. Thank you very much and have a great day.